Welcome to a delicious hour of culinary conversation with Chef Jamie Gwen. Dish with celebrity chefs, cookbook authors, trendsetters, and food experts, and gain inspirational ideas to feed your soul. You'll learn kitchen wisdom, wine education, and lifestyle tips, and you'll eat and drink like never before. Food and Wine with Chef Jamie Gwen starts now.
A very good Sunday to you, food lovers. Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio. The culinary landscape, it is ever evolving. On this show, you'll hear from chefs and pastry aficionados, restaurateurs and molecular gastronomers, food bloggers, enthusiasts, cookbook authors, and more. We'll dish on fabulous food, wine, and spirits, travel, health, and living the best life. So I hope you won't miss a Sunday of delicious conversation with me. The most passionate food and wine lovers, they listen here. So if you're a food enthusiast, well, then you are definitely in the right place. If you happen to have missed a show or you'd like to master a topic, you can find my podcasts and recipes galore posted at chefjamie.com. Podcasts are directly posted as well on iTunes, Feedburner, and Blueberry under Food and Wine with Chef Jamie Gwen. And you can find my daily gastronomic inspiration posted on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chef Jamie Gwen. I hope that you will, of course, stay tuned because we have a full and exciting show coming up. Let me tell you what is on your plate. We are going to learn from a master who learned in her mother's kitchen, in fact. She is the blogger, much loved, Alexandra Stafford will be here. Her new cookbook, Bread, Toast, Crumbs, is getting a ton of acclaim, and we're going to talk no-knead bread doughs. Also, before the end of the hour, we'll talk about the new culinary movement, a Southern Latino table with Sandra Gutierrez and her best thoughts on how to combine the best of the South and true Latin influence. With that said, I like to kick off the show with a technique or a topic or a chef's tip to make your dishes come alive with flavor. And today's show, to kick off, is all about the wonders of Wondra. I think that lots of great cooks still question Wondra instant flour. We know that it's easily dissolvable. It makes lump-free gravy and sauces. But what else do you use it for? Well, if you've ever wondered about Wondra, it's a wheat flour that has actually been pre-cooked and then dried. Think instant rice. And it dissolves without seizing up when you stir it into a hot liquid. Now, I happen to think it's brilliant because if you've ever made a lumpy gravy, then you know the beauties of Wondra, because using Wondra was like the 1 minute miracle. Well, it happens to have a very low protein content and this baby powder like consistency, and it is great for other uses. So if you have a container of Wondra that you use once a year at Thanksgiving, let me solve that dilemma. It's one of those little secrets that you sort of keep in your back pocket. Now, I should tell you that this lesson on Wondra is prompted by a recipe that's getting a bunch of attention on the World Wide Web. You see, Jacques Pepin makes chicken nuggets. Really, you ask? Well, sort of. Jacques Pepin's newest cookbook, which he graced this show months ago, in fact. It's entitled, by the way, Poulet and Legumes, My Favorite Chicken and Vegetable Recipes. The cookbook itself has a recipe for garlic chicken breasts. Now, when you read through the recipe, all signs point to this golden, crisp, delectable goodness. There is no breading. There is no deep frying. There is no mess required. Instead, the recipe promises everything your crispy chicken-loving heart desires with the help of a little bit of Wondra flour and a nonstick skillet. Garlic and parsley are added at the end, by the way, for a final flourish of flavor. But it's really the method behind preparing the chicken that gets you. Now, of course, Jacques Pepin, in true fabulous French style, makes the chicken breasts whole and serves them beautifully. But if you were to cut them into pieces, yes, you will get the best chicken nugget ever. More on that in just a moment. If your summer plans include a fish fry, a pan fry, maybe breading or frying other meats and vegetables, then Wondra flour makes this light, lovely, crispy crust that you cannot duplicate. Julia Child recommends instant flour, also known as the brand name Wondra, when you make crepes, because the flour dissolves so easily that you only have to rest the crepe batter for like 10 minutes, let's say, rather than the half hour, or even some recipes call for an hour, when you make a crepe with all-purpose flour. Now, when you're making pies, many professional pastry chefs will tell you they use pastry flour, but pastry flour isn't always readily available or at hand. So Wondra is low protein. It's not bleached, but it makes a very good substitute. And if you butter and flour a cake pan often, Wondra or instant flour covers the pan without clumping in the corners. It's really very genius. Now, Wondra is the most readily available brand of instant flour. It does include a small amount of malted barley flour, which helps with the browning and the caramelization. Pillsbury is said to make an instant flour called Shake and Blend, but I could not find it on my supermarket shelves here in the West. I'd love to know if you could find it, or please just send me some. And of course, we should get back to that chicken, right? So Jacques, you know, my friend Jacques Pepin. Yes, Jacques has this recipe for breasts. You cut the meat into pieces, you get nuggets. You very simply dry the cubes of chicken with paper towels. You place them in a mixing bowl and you add or shake in some Wondra flour, salt, and pepper, and you toss to combine. Then you heat some good quality high smoke point oil, preferably grapeseed in my opinion, in a non-stick skillet over high heat until it's very hot, just about to smoke. And you add these Wondra or seasoned Wondra coated chicken cubes and you cook them in one layer, turning occasionally until they're cooked through about 3 to 4 minutes. Now, you turn them over, as I mentioned, until they're brown all over. It takes 4 minutes total. It's simple, easy. You've never made nuggets easier. And meanwhile, you combine melted butter, garlic, and parsley in a bowl. And when the chicken comes out of the pan, you pat it dry with a paper towel and you throw it into the garlic butter. And you might just have the fanciest and most delicious chicken nugget ever. Now, mind you, please do not tell Jacques because Jacques makes a beautiful presentation, as aforementioned, with breasts, but I have to say, the chicken nugget comes alive. And it is proof that Wondra is a one-ingredient miracle. So I'd love to know what you use Wondra or instant flour for. Please email me, jamie@chefjamie.com, and we will dish. All right, it is time for some news you can use. In food news this week, I have a new favorite gadget, and oh, it is definitely newsworthy. Every chef will tell you that sharp knives are essential to great cooking, right? In fact, it is said and proven, in fact, that more accidents happen from dull knives as opposed to sharp because you're applying so much pressure when you're cutting. Now, prep is made easier with a sharp knife. It's really an extension of your hand. That's why great chefs always have knives that they can count on, and you should too. But with that said, you need what is called an AnySharp. This thing, I have to tell you, is so great. It attaches to the countertop, so you secure it to a firm surface, and it sharpens your knives by you drag the knife through the blade. Now, when you're done, you pop it off the counter for storage. It works well. It has this patented power grip that gives you a suction cup base. It has a long-lasting top that you guide the knife through that's softer than metal so it doesn't damage the metal edge. It makes it safe for your knives as well. And it does not take excessive pressure, so anyone can do it. It is preset at a 20-degree angle to give you the perfect edge every time, which, by the way, if you've ever sharpened on a sharpening stone, it is a skilled job, and it is very hard to get a consistent angle. This Any Sharp knife sharpener allows everyone to get professional results, and you don't need any training. So I thought I would share the wealth and pay it forward. I have an Any Sharp. I love it. You want one too? Visit AnySharp.com, or you can buy it on Amazon. You will see the brilliance, and that is my best chef's tip of the day. So now you are in the know. Southern California food lovers, I know you're in the know, because that place in your neighborhood where you get farmers market freshness but more club sizes than a club store and prices up to 25% lower than supermarkets all combined. Yes, of course, you know that place. It's Smart and Final. At Smart and Final, you get it all. And I am very proud to have Smart and Final as a supporter and partner of this show, making it possible. And I am proud to shop at Smart and Final stores. You get high quality foods for family dinners. You get supplies for weekend parties. A huge organics section, not only fresh, but in packaged products as well. You get locally sourced products, and there's some really cool stuff that you just can't find anywhere else. So if you're looking for a better supermarket, please skip the supermarket and find a Smart and Final store near you. You will get real savings of up to 25% off every day. You do not need a membership card. And trust me, they have everything galore to set up the party, to clean it up for your daily groceries and more. Find a Smart and Final store near you at smartandfinal.com. And oh, do not touch your dial, because we do have more scintillating conversation coming up. I'm Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio. I'm delighted you joined me, and we'll be right back. It's time for the Melissa's Produce Pick of the Week, every week from the ordinary to the extraordinary, guaranteeing that the best and freshest worldwide produce anywhere comes from Melissa's. At Melissa's, they aim to make life more convenient every day. So they have peeled and steamed garbanzo beans ready in a package for you. Yes, they taste so much better than the canned version. No soaking required. Melissa's peeled and steamed garbanzos are quick and convenient right out of the package. And they have this clean, fresh, fabulous flavor so that you can make instant hummus or add them to soups or salads, stews, even casseroles. They're made all natural and ready to eat. And you will find Melissa's peeled and steamed garbanzo beans in the produce section of your favorite supermarket. Just look for products that have the Melissa's logo, where the eye is the carrot. You'll see it by name. Or you could always order all your produce and convenience items directly from their website at melissas.com. The best, the freshest worldwide produce anywhere comes from Melissa's. Chef Jamie Gwen here. At Hoffie, making delicious is what they do. Family owned for over 85 years, Hoffie is true to its roots and embracing the future, honoring tradition with great flavor and quality. Hoffie Original Recipe Beef Franks are made with the highest quality 100% beef and the family's special spice blend. Whether you need a quick, delicious weekday meal or a hearty feast while watching your favorite teams with friends, Hoffie Premium Beef Franks provide the quality and flavor you need. And don't forget Hoffie Bacon Wrapped Hot Dogs. They've put together two all-time favorites that will make everyone happy. In fact, at Hoffie, that's just what they do. Hoffie, making delicious, making happy. You can stock up on a variety of Hoffie hot dogs at Smart and Final stores in Southern California and find recipes and ideas for dinner tonight at HoffieBrand.com.
Hiring is the most challenging part of my job. It's really hard. The searching, the sorting through resumes. Most people don't have the right experience.
We started using ZipRecruiter about 3 months ago. Right from the start, you could tell it was going to make hiring a lot easier. One click and my job was posted to 100 plus job boards, all the top sites.
All of the candidates came to my dashboard, and it's easy to compare them. Thumbs up if I like them. Thumbs down if I didn't. No emails and attachments, printing up docs, phone calls, none of that.
And I couldn't believe the number of great applicants we got. I had the person we needed within 1 week. I don't know how we hired before ZipRecruiter.
Whether you're looking to fill one position or 20, find the best candidates with ZipRecruiter, where your job is just one click away from 100 plus job sites. ZipRecruiter, the fastest way to hire. And right now you can try ZipRecruiter free. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/go hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/go hire. ZipRecruiter.com/go hire.
What are you doing here?
What's going on?
What's going on?
Coming up on the next drive home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips. We start another week at 3 o'clock, unless, of course, the wind blows us to Bakersfield.
All that hot air right here from 3 to 6.
Live and local right after Dr. Drew and Mike Hathaway right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
This is an easy way to get your quick fix of culinary entertainment. Chef Jamie Gwen in your radio every Sunday. Welcome back. A new cookbook has just released, and it's a bread baking book for a whole new generation. If baking bread seems like an impossible feat, don't fret, because Alexandra Stafford has a recipe, many actually, that are foolproof. But this book isn't just about baking bread. It's about what to do with the slices and the heels and the nubs from those many loaves that you will be baking. You see, Alexandra grew up eating her mother's peasant bread at nearly every meal. It was a closely guarded family secret. When her blog, Alexandra's Kitchen, began to grow in popularity, readers started asking how to make the bread they'd heard so much about. And finally, Alexandra's mother relented, and the recipe went up on the internet to be an instant sensation. It sparked a cookbook project as well, and the baking world is really excited about it. With praise from greats like Dori Greenspan and David Leibovitz, Bread Toast Crumbs showcases 135 no-need recipes to bake bread at home easily. And author and blogger Alexandra Stafford is here to dish. I am very glad to have you. Congrats on the book, Alexandra.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yes, of course. Well deserved. Okay, I have a question. I read that your mother fibbed for all those years about where the recipe came from. Is that really true?
Well, yes, it is. Even to close friends, and she laughs about it now, but she genuinely for years told them that the recipe was on the back of the King Arthur flour bag, and people would make it and they would say, Liza, it's not really turning out. And she said, oh, you know, I don't know why. And then I was also under strict orders to do the same thing. So I would tell my friends as well. And it was a friend who pointed out to me at one point that the recipe, there was no longer a bread recipe on the back of the King Arthur flour bag. And that's when I really started thinking, okay, how can I get my mother to let me share this recipe?
Right. I think that's very funny to consider that there was a long running secret and a fib about it. And then your mother finally relented, we know. And so you shared it. What is the secret to the family peasant bread recipe?
Well, the secret really is just that it really is as simple as it sounds. It's 4 cups of flour. If you use a scale, it comes together in just, you know, minutes. I mean, I can whisk it, and I've done it, you know, a million times at this point. But, you know, in 3 minutes, basically, I can mix the dough. So it's 4 cups of flour. And I think part of it also what's so great about it is just that it's easy to memorize. It's right. 4 cups of flour, 2 teaspoons each of salt, sugar, and yeast, or you can use 2 1/4 teaspoons if you use the packets, and 2 cups of water. So once you make it once, you know the measurements and the proportions, and it's no need. It's a wet dough, so it whisks and comes together easily. And because it's a wet dough, it also rises quickly. And in the book and on the blog, there are a few tips on how to make sure that it does rise in a timely manner. For instance, sort of creating a warm spot in your oven, just briefly turning it on and turning it off so it has this nice warm cubby to rise in. Making sure your water is lukewarm by mixing boiling water with cold water. You don't have to take out your thermometer and make sure that the water is the right temperature. So that helps activate the yeast quickly. And also using instant yeast, so you don't actually have to do that proofing and activation step that many bread recipes call for, and which I did for a very long time.
Right.
But once I switched to using instant yeast, I realized how, you know, eliminating that step makes the process go so much more quickly. Mm. So that's it. It's really that it's so simple. Oh, and I guess the other step is that it bakes in buttered Pyrex bowls.
Like glass Pyrex mixing bowls?
Yes, exactly.
That's amazing.
I know, and there's something about it too. There are these 1-quart Pyrex bowls. You probably, if you have a nesting set of bowls, you probably have one on hand. It's the smallest bowl in the set. And if you butter it really well, it takes about 20 minutes. The second rise takes about 20 minutes. You bake it and it poofs way up and you just get this beautiful golden boule. And it also means that you're never flowering a work surface, or you can make this in with limited space.
You're never searching out the proper baking pan or where you put your, you know, last cake pan that you bought. I think it's really genius, like you said, the simplicity of it. And then there are standards on the, or variations rather, on the standard recipe, I should say. And you could bake bread all day.
You can, and you can, you really can vary it to your taste and preferences, and it's really simple. And just simple things like adding a number of seeds. One of my favorite variations is just three seeds, and it's just pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, and sunflower seeds. And a quarter cup of each of those somehow totally changes the character of the bread. Another favorite is the Parmesan and cheddar.
Yes.
So you just, it comes out especially golden when you add this cheese.
Beautiful.
Another, the quinoa and flax. You don't have to cook the quinoa. And if you use red quinoa, it looks beautiful because it just emerges studded with red specks. And again, that just adds another flavor and texture to the bread. And it's very simple.
Yeah, it's super simple and very brilliant. Would you share your four tips to ensure loaf success, please? Because I thought they
sure.
were all essential.
Sure, yeah. So the first one is to use the right pan for the right job. And the reason is that you can say you have so the ideal size is this 1-quart mixing bowl. You can use a 1.5-quart mixing bowl. You can use a 2-quart bowl. Depending on the size of the bowl, the shape of the loaf is going to come out different. So if you follow the recipe exactly, but you butter 2 1.5-quart bowls, it's not going to rise as high. So you'll look at the pictures and you'll think, gosh, my bread isn't rising. I did something wrong. You didn't do anything wrong. It's not going to, the shape is just going to be different. It will be a little bit shorter. It might be wider. The texture will probably be the same. So if you use the 1-quart bowl, it's going to look exactly, you know, how the pictures appear.
Right.
The second tip is the instant yeast. Again, that just eliminates that step of having to activate, make sure your yeast is fresh and foamy. And once you get that step out of the way, the process just moves really quickly, and it sort of takes out something you may stress over. Is it foamy enough? Is the yeast fresh enough? Is it going to work? Instant yeast is so reliable. Using a scale is the third tip. That's because flour, if I were to measure with measuring cups, 4 cups of flour, and you were to measure with measuring cups, 4 cups of flour, they'll weigh 2 different things. This, if you use a scale, you just dump out 512 grams into the bowl of flour, it's always going to come out.
Right, it's foolproof at that point.
Yes. Right, exactly. And then the lukewarm water, which I had mentioned. Oh, lukewarm water and a warm place for your bread to rise, which I had mentioned earlier. But again, if you do 1.5 cups cold water with 1/2 cup boiling water, it will be perfect lukewarm temperature, which is ideal for the yeast. You don't want it too hot because you can kill the yeast. You don't want it too cold because it will take a long time to rise. And then the preheating your oven just for a minute and shutting it off to just create this warm environment that, you know, kitchens in the winter especially can be very drafty and cold, and it will really take your dough a long time to rise. So having that warm spot just really helps.
Okay, Alexandra, we'll take a quick break. We'll slice up a loaf. We'll come back with more no-need bread baking right after this. Chef Jamie Gwen here. So you need a loaf of bread for lunches, maybe chicken or steaks for dinner. Maybe you're planning for a graduation party or an end of school celebration. Well, it's a good thing Smart and Final has you covered, right? Smart and Final is better than ever. You can still stock up on thousands of club sizes, but now you can pick up your groceries for the week at prices lower than other grocery stores. You see, there is a place in your neighborhood with farmers market freshness, more club sizes than a club store, and prices up to 25% lower than supermarkets. Yes, that place is one place, Smart and Final. At Smart and Final, you get it all. High-quality foods for family dinners and celebrations, supplies for the weekend parties, even organics and locally sourced products. Plus, there's some really cool gourmet stuff that you just can't find anywhere else. You'll also find value, convenience, and quality at Smart and Final. That's what I look for in a supermarket. And this week at Smart and Final, incredible quality and great value. First Street chicken drumsticks, thighs, or leg quarters. Limit four packages. They're fresh at just 77 cents per pound. And a two-pound package of sweet strawberries, $2.99 each. If you're looking for a better supermarket, you should skip the supermarket. Find a Smart and Final near you, and you'll get real savings of up to 25% off every day. Find a store at smartandfinal.com.
News.
Talk.
Evolve. 790 KABC.
It was the day before Mother's Day, and RC stood at her sink, plunging away at a stubborn clog.
I deserve better than this. It's Mother's Day Eve. I'm going to find a plumber to plunge my clog.
So she called one, then another, but neither could unclog her until Monday. She was about to give up when she remembered hearing a radio ad.
I'm Mike Diamond. I guarantee my plumbers will show up on time and unclog your drain for $99, or your house call is free.
She dialed the Smell Good Plumbers and was scheduled for the next day.
Better than Monday,
she mumbled as she hung up the phone. Then something happened that she'll remember forever.
My Smell Good Plumber called and said he'd be here in 35 minutes instead of the next day.
As you might expect, he showed up on time, smelled good, ran his cable, and unclogged RC's drain.
The service was great,
RC exclaimed. Read RC's comments and more at MikeDiamond.com. Contract license number 399170. On the phone at 1-800-446-MIKE.
Attention Yards of America, now you have a holiday too. Toro Days at the Home Depot, with the lowest prices of the season on their latest zero-turn and self-propelled mowers, like a 22-inch variable-speed gas mower for just $274. You save $45. It's the next generation of outdoor power from Toro, and it's one happy holiday for your yard. Get a fresh take on spring and the lowest prices of the season during Toro Days at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Offers valid April 20th through May 3rd.
If you haven't eaten a vegetable in months, but put only full synthetic oil in your car, then CarQuest Auto Parts is for you. If you wear old coveralls over your new coveralls, then CarQuest is for you. That's because CarQuest is for those who really know and care about their car. Now get 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic high mileage motor oil and a Mobil 1 oil filter for $29.99. CarQuest is serious auto parts.
Limited time while supplies last. See store or advanceautoparts.com for details.
Your source for breaking news. Live and local. KABC.
We're back and we're dishing with the author of Bread, Toast, Crumbs. She is Alexandra Stafford. I am Chef Jamie Gwen, and we are No Need Baking. We have to make a food cart grilled cheese because I loved your tips for perfecting a good grilled cheese to make it great.
Yes, that is one of my favorite recipes in the book, actually. And I think also, again, because it's so simple, I think sometimes it's really hard. I still think it's really hard to make a good burger at home. It's so hard to know if the meat is going to be overcooked or undercooked, you know. And same thing with a grilled cheese. You can make a good grilled cheese, but if you... There's certain things you can do to just make an excellent grilled cheese. And I got some tips from this food cart in Maine who sells amazing lobster rolls but also sells amazing grilled cheeses. It's called Bite Into Maine. So one of their tips is to use salted butter, which was a revelation to me because I always bought unsalted butter, and salted butter is really, really good.
Yes, it is, and it has its place, by the way. There are certain things that are meant for salted butter.
Right, exactly. Another tip is if you mix salted butter with some mayonnaise, mayonnaise basically has a higher smoke point, I guess it is, because it's made with oil, so it won't burn as easily. And there have been many blogs and articles about using exclusively mayonnaise because it does browns very evenly.
Which is what I do.
That, sorry, go ahead.
And that's what I do. I've always used mayonnaise, but you have to regulate the heat.
Yes, and I find I just sometimes I miss the butter taste. So if you mix the butter with the mayonnaise, you get the best of both worlds,
yes.
I think. You get some of that salted, buttery taste, but you get the even goldenness of the mayonnaise. Okay, another one is never grease the surface of the pan. Just always grease the bread from edge to edge. I find slices of deli cheese. I love Cabot sharp cheddar, the sliced cheese. It just makes it so easy. You don't have to worry about grating, and they seem to melt very easily. And then the last tip, I guess, is weighing down the first side just to help it kind of brown. It I think, speeds up the process. It gets the cheese going and the bottom crust browning before you flip it, and then you don't weigh it down on the second side.
I could use a grilled cheese right about now. Sounds
every day.
And then let's talk leftovers before I let you go. When it comes to bread, you make panzanella salad and stuffing and bread crumbs with the nubs and the last bit of bread. I think that's so smart to really consider that it is full utilization.
Yes. No, it's breadcrumbs there was a period where I didn't use them, and I would throw away heels of bread or whatever. They were stale. And when I finally realized how well they revive, by either grinding them and toasting them up in olive oil in a skillet and then throwing them over pasta or sauteed greens or roasted vegetables, or even if they're super stale, using them in meatballs or a meatloaf or veggie burgers, they swell and they absorb the flavors and they work so beautifully. So I try so hard now. I mean, the only time I sacrifice any little nub of bread is if it's just covered in mold. But now if it's super stale, I whiz it in the food processor, and if I'm not going to use it right away, I just throw it in a bag and stick it in the freezer. And then breadcrumbs thaw so easily, so quickly. So I have this stash of frozen breadcrumbs, and I can take them out. They thaw, and it's amazing how they can transform a dish.
Super smart. Waste not, want not. I love that.
Yes.
The book is really, truly fabulous. Congratulations to you. It is called Bread Toast Crumbs, Recipes for No-Need Loaves and Meals to Savor Every Slice. Alexandra's Kitchen, blogged by Alexandra Stafford, was a finalist for the Savour Blog Awards Most Inspired Weeknight Dinners 2016, and now you know why. Her cookbook, Bread Toast Crumbs, is available now. You can learn more at alexandracooks.com, and you can follow Alexandra's daily bread escapades at Alexandra Cooks. Very inspiring, Alexandra, and just so well-written and beautiful, too. So, again, kudos to you. I hope you'll come back and share more bread tips again soon. I'd love to have you.
Oh, I would love to. Thank you.
As the delicious conversation continues, you hear it here from the greatest culinary thinkers to the best bread makers and more. And there is more fabulous food in your radio right after this. Don't go away.
Whether you need bananas for lunch, tri-tip for dinner, or party goods for the weekend, you'll find everything you need at Smart & Final. Smart & Final has the low prices of a Walmart, the big sizes of a Costco without the membership fees, plus the freshness of your local supermarket. Smart & Final. Warehouse prices, big and small sizes.
Chef Jamie Gwen here. Up and down California's Central Coast, spring is returning to the vineyards. And when it comes to wine quality, it's all about the place. One of my favorite producers, J-Lore, offers a vineyard series of wines that really speak to their source. Case in point, the J-Lore Arroyo Vista Chardonnay and the J-Lore Hilltop Cabernet Sauvignon. The J-Lore Arroyo Vista Chardonnay hails from cool climate Monterey County. Pear and citrus aromas, flavors of cashew and vanilla, making it the perfect pairing for salmon or seared scallops. And for years, The J.Lor Hilltop Cabernet Sauvignon has been one of Paso Robles' go-to reds. This Hilltop release is powerful yet graceful, with plum and blueberry flavors wrapped in spice and 93 points from Wine Enthusiast magazine. I'm thinking a springtime pairing with roast leg of lamb. You can find both of these wonderful J.Lor wines fairly easily around town. And of course, you can learn more at JLOHR.com.
Home of the smartest listeners in Southern California. Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Target presents That Time When.
Hey, hon.
Yeah?
You know how we said we wanted to get a puppy because it would give us purpose and joy now that the kids have moved out of the house?
Uh-huh.
Well, by purpose and joy, did we mean picking up garbage and Swiffering the whole house?
Time for a Target run. Get everyday low prices on everyday essentials like Swiffer Sweeper dry pads or Clorox disinfecting wipes. And Purina Puppy Chow Complete is just $12.89. Target run and done. Yay, puppies. Pricing and availability may vary.
Cricket has something epic for you. An adventure like no other. Starring free select 4G LTE smartphones when you switch. And featuring plans starting at only $30 a month. Now at a store near you. Cricket Wireless. Something to smile about.
Applies to Samsung Galaxy M2, Alcatel Streak, ZT, Sonata 3. Requires number ported and service activation minimum $30 per month. First month service charge and in-store activation fee up to $25 due at sale. Tax and restrictions apply. One-time fees may apply. See store for details.
A reminder, we have a free Money Matters Retirement Seminar Tuesday, May 9th, Culver City, Thursday, May 11th, Woodland Hills, or May 13th, Orange. Find out if you are properly diversified so you can take advantage of stock market gains when possible while also having a sell strategy to help protect your retirement from a crash. The best time to take Social Security. 5 strategies to save on income tax and more. If you're retired or retiring soon, don't miss it. Reserve at moneymatters.net. That's moneymatters.net or call 800-994-0302.
Say, what is this?
You know what it is. 790-790-790-790.
KABC.
The KABC will call window is now open.
Hi, I hear you're giving away tickets to music shows and comedies and...
Oh, yeah, it's a little added bonus for listening to KABC.
I'll take 10 of each, please.
Well, you do have to win them first.
Hey, buddy, mind if I borrow your phone?
Listen, call, win. The KABC will call your ticket to SoCal's hottest tickets. Courtesy of 790 KABC.
Tuned in to the best culinary conversation on the radio. Welcome back. Chef Jamie Gwen here. Not since Chef Norman Van Aken, the inventor of Nuevo Latino cooking, has anyone discovered an organic culinary movement here in the U.S. Until, of course, cookbook author and Southern Latino American food expert Sandra Gutierrez. She was a bit before her time, in fact. The new Southern Latino culinary movement is real, and so much so that late last year, the Smithsonian chose Sandra and her breakthrough cookbook, The New Southern Latino Table, to be a part of their new exhibition at the Smithsonian Community Museum in Washington, D.C. It's Sandra's personal journey with food that reflects so many other Latinos who have made their home in the South. Her cookbook entitled The New Southern Latino Table brings together the bold and beloved flavors of Latin America and the American South, and she is here to dish. I'm very glad to have you, Sandra. Welcome.
Thank you for having me, Chef Jamie.
Of course. Okay, tell us your story. I think it's really a fascinating one. You landed in North Carolina, and you were way ahead of your time when you began melding the cuisines, one that you loved and one that you were newly being acquainted with.
It's very interesting because I was born in the States. I was born in Philadelphia, but I was raised in Guatemala. And when I came back to the States and was married, moved to North Carolina in the 1980s. And back then, there was no Latino representation in Southern food. I left for a few years to go to Canada for business, returned back in 1993, and that's when I noticed it. I started seeing all of these Latino permutations and ingredients and culinary techniques starting to mingle with Southern food ways. I started seeing that in the houses of my southern friends who were now adding things like chipotle peppers into their barbecue sauces and doing things like adding lemon to their fried dishes, you know, adding lemon to their fried dishes and adding more tartar sauces that had other ingredients like cilantro added to them. Mm. And all of these things were not existent when I was there in the 1980s. You couldn't find a jalapeno pepper anywhere in the Triangle area where I moved to in North Carolina. You certainly couldn't find any cilantro when I first moved there in the 80s. And all of a sudden, you know, people were doing it at home.
Interesting. You know, I think that your discovery of this culinary moment and this movement happened quite before its time, and it has slowly emerged for us to really see and understand the melding. And I would love for you to share the building blocks, the basics of Southern Latino cuisine and how you see them come together. Is it in cilantro and chipotles? What else, you know, what else defines it?
Well, I think what made it so hard to first define it is the fact that it didn't start in restaurants. I think most culinary movements have come to light in restaurants, and this was very quietly being built in people's homes.
Yes.
And what I noticed is that it wasn't only a Mexican-centric movement, as it was in Texas, for instance, with Tex-Mex, or in California, where it first started, of course, with Mexican flavors. Here in the South, what had happened is I was seeing the culinary influences of all 21 different culinary movements in Latin America come together with Southern foodways. So I was seeing ingredients such as, for instance, the ham salad that's so popular in the South was now being used to stuff rolled cakes, which is very traditional in Argentina, so that you would have a rolled cake that you would slice with that delicious ham salad that most Southern women have at least had once in little sandwiches that are heated through, and then you serve them at ladies' luncheons. Potato salads were also changing. The traditional Southern potato salad with pickles and egg was now changing to potato salads that had the Peruvian flavoring and composition, like the causas, which they're called in Peru. So they were now layered. So there was a layer of potato salad with a layer of a creamy mayonnaise salad, either tuna or chicken, or again, the ham salad, topped with another layer of potato salad, and they were cut into squares or served individually into little towers.
That's my favorite, Sandra. So good.
So delicious. Yeah, and things like that. So that's what made it first, I think, difficult to define, because it wasn't only one cuisine coming in, but all of these other different cuisines coming in from all different places. When it finally reached restaurants at the beginning of the, I'm going to say maybe the 2010s, in that decade, it was in restaurants such as Dill Smith's Crook's Corner in Chapel Hill.
Yes.
And he was making things like sweet potato tamales.
Huh.
Or he was topping his Hopping John in the Mexican style with cheese and pico de gallo on top. And that's when I knew we had arrived. At that point, you know, if people were asking for it in restaurants and people were now developing those recipes purposely, chefs were doing it on purpose.
Yes.
We had arrived as a movement that was going to stay and not stay in a fad stage, but that was actually now a complete melding and marriage of both.
Oh, and yes, Sandra, you have arrived, let me tell you. Because the recipes in this particular book of your four, I have to tell you, are so intriguing. They brought me to the page where I can't wait to make so many of the dishes. And I'd love to meld some flavors with you. Can we start, though, with achiote oil, a Latin staple you use in everything, now being used across the South, very prevalent, in fact. Can you teach us to make it? Because that is a building block to me.
It is, and it's a very, and you know, the funny thing is achiote is actually called annatto in English, and every American who's ever had a bowl of macaroni and cheese or a slice of cheddar cheese has had annatto, because that is the seed and the oil that gives its color, its orange color to cheddar cheese,
right,
which is actually white. So I find it one of the easiest building blocks to teach people in the Southern Latino movement. Annatto is a little seed, rust, red rust color, that grows in this beautiful little round pod
full of little strings of different colors, oranges and pinks. And when you break it open, you find those little seeds in there. And it's super easy to make your oil. You just buy the seeds in the supermarket, and almost every supermarket has them in the Latin section, in the Latin aisle of your supermarket, you'll find them. And then you mix about a quarter cup of those seeds with 2 cups of regular cooking oil. It can be olive oil if you want to, but it doesn't have to be. Just vegetable oil will be fine. And you just put that in a little pot, bring it to a very slow simmer, turn it off immediately as soon as you see bubbles forming, and let that steep anywhere from 10 to 20 minutes. Then you just strain the seeds off either through a sieve or through a piece of linen, and then you just save the oil. The oil will last on your counter for a good month, and you use it to start any kind of Latin American dish with Central American or Caribbean intonation. So that'll be your rice dishes, but you can saute the rice before you add the liquid, or you can add a little bit to bread, you can add a little bit to soups. It just adds this very special flavor.
Yeah, flavor and color. There's a vibrancy to it, right? And there's
a
depth.
Yes, it makes rice golden.
Yeah, beautiful. There's a depth of flavor to it. I would almost put it into the umami category. It has a richness to it. That's
a really good place to put it, actually, as umami, because it's hard to describe.
It is. It's that indescribable but very prominent, beautiful Latin expression, I would say. And I think it's a terrific staple for any great cook to add depth of flavor to their dishes. You make a Latin tartar sauce that intrigued me. It makes me want to have a fish fry.
Yes, the tartar sauce has spices in it that are different, but then you've got that cilantro, lots of citrus juice in it.
Yes.
Of course, you get your classic pickles and you get your capers in there. But it is particularly delicious with seafood dishes, which are, of course, in the South, we have a lot of fried seafood. And when you dip a plump fried shrimp into that tartar sauce, just the explosion of flavors in your mouth.
So
it is both a textural and a flavorful explosion that you feel. That is what comes through. It's the Southern traditional dishes that are very similar to Latin American dishes in composition, but that when both a Latino and a Southerner sit down to eat it, they both go, I know this.
Right.
But there's something different about it.
That, as the French say, that's the je ne sais quoi. Like, you can't put your finger on it, but you know it's better than the traditional, and you can't wait to take another bite. When we consider classic Southern versus Southern Latino, I think your pimento cheese is the perfect example.
The pimento cheese, you know, when you come to the South, and there are as many versions of pimento cheese as there are Southern cooks, but at its most basic form, I would say it is a mixture of shredded cheddar cheese with mayonnaise and pimentos. Some people will add pickles, some people will add capers. But the Latin American pimento cheese adds a little bit of spice to it. And so I like to include chipotle peppers in adobo, which are smoked jalapenos that have been preserved in a marinade with tomatoes and vinegar and onions.
I love them.
Find canned.
Yes, I love them.
It's so delicious.
I use the sauce sometimes, not just the chilies, the adobo sauce,
correct,
just to add the heat and the smokiness to a dish.
And that's the key. It's the smokiness. And the reason that I think they match each other, adding that chipotle into the pimento cheese and that they go together so well, is that the smokiness reminds us of the smoked pork that we use for barbecue in the South.
Mm.
And it just mixes deliciously with other flavors. So I think that chipotle really adds that Southern Latino in there. But you could also add jalapenos or Peruvian ají amarillo, which is the yellow pepper, and also call it a new Southern Latino, because it would all go together.
You're making me hungry. I want to end on a sweet note. I think we should have mango peach and tequila cobbler, don't you?
I think cobbler is the quintessential summer dessert in the South.
Yes.
And usually you will find blueberry cobblers and peach cobblers. And I thought, well, mango and peaches really do marry together, the same color. But when you throw some tequila in there, it is this really, I don't know how to express that little accent of life that comes into that cobbler. It's quite delicious. It's very, very comforting. And then I like to serve that with my buttermilk ice cream, which is also in the book, which is completely Southern and so easy to make. Two ingredients, you put them in your ice make, in machine maker, and it just comes to life. It's just amazing. The creaminess of the buttermilk with the punginess of the tequila and the sweetness of the mango and peaches.
Oh, no doubt. What are the two ingredients? Will you share?
Buttermilk and sugar.
Literally together in your ice cream maker, they essentially make a custard.
Well, they make more like a sorbet.
Ah, okay. I've never tried
so
it, and I can't wait.
Icy.
Yes.
It's completely fat-free because there's no butter in buttermilk.
Good. Oh, Sandra, I love it. Before I let you go, though, please, if you would, highlight the Smithsonian exhibit. What an absolute honor to be included and involved and very deservedly so, but you are definitely bringing the Southern Latino movement to a whole new level.
Yes, I was extremely honored and touched that they included my book. That exhibit is called Gateways, or Portales in Spanish. It's a bilingual exhibit. It's absolutely beautiful. It's its own exhibit at the Anacostia Community Museum. It's very colorful, and it represents the four largest cities in the United States, in the southern area of the U.S., with the largest Latino growth, and all of the changes, positive things that we have brought into the society. I think it's something that's very well needed now to represent the good things we have brought. Mm. I know, you know, people concentrate on the bad, but there's a lot of wonderful things in art, food, festivities, politics,
yes,
education, everything. So it's quite a beautiful exhibit, very colorful. It will run till August 6th in D.C., and after that, it will probably become a tour exhibit. It will
go on
tour and to the four different cities in the South.
Well, congratulations and kudos to you. I couldn't agree more that your contributions and what you have brought along with the Latino people to this country have made a wonderful influence. And
I am grateful
for your time. And thrilled for your continued success and exposure. Again, very well deserved. You will no doubt savor the glorious feast that is Sandra Gutierrez's cookbook entitled The New Southern Latino Table. You will cook on a whole new level and set your culinary sights higher. Trust me, you want to see this book and learn more, of course. You can follow Sandra at sandraskitchenstudio.com and your daily dish and escapades, Sandra, on social media?
At Sandra Latinista.
At Sandra Latinista. I will be following, Sandra. I hope you'll come back soon. We can cook together again.
I would love it. Thank you so much for having me.
And so that brings us to the end of another hour of delicious conversation. Whether you love to cook or love to eat, maybe you're a Food Network junkie who makes great reservations, well, then this too is your show. I hope that you will tune in every Sunday to take your cooking skills to the next level and allow me to feed your soul. If you're looking for recipes and inspiration and thoughts from this show, you can find me at chefjamie.com and my daily dish on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chef Jamie Gwen, where I will post this tidbit of culinary conversation. I'll leave you with my last bite, my last ounce of inspiration for the hour. This is for the kids, or the kids at heart, of course. You can make chocolate-scented Play-Doh that's not edible. But where's the fun in that, right? Why not make edible chocolate Play-Doh with this recipe that is as tasty as it is simple? Doesn't that sound like so much fun for an end-of-school party or an early summer activity? You take 2 cups of store-bought vanilla frosting. You mix in 1/2 cup of cocoa powder and 1 1/4 cups of powdered sugar. And you mix it up well. If it's too sticky, you add some more powdered sugar. If it's on the crumbly side, you can add a little bit of water, like 1/2 teaspoon at a time, to moisten it up. And yes, you get totally edible chocolate Play-Doh. I have plenty of adult friends, by the way, that would love to come over for cocktail hour and play with chocolate Play-Doh. I will once again post the recipe on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Chef Jamie Gwen. And I'll meet you here next Sunday, where there will be more fabulous food in your radio, guaranteed. I'm Chef Jamie.